The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Alabama Ghost Encounter by Now Delete User. My buddy and I were riding home through the woods in Alabama. We were going down a rural patch of road on an old highway. We had been hunting that morning and didn't end up killing a deer, so we decided to fish and grab some food. The morning hunt felt strange. It was as if I were being watched in the woods. Now, I'm a police officer and a retired Marine, so I don't get scared easily. A pack of wild dogs ran through the area where my stand was, but I kept feeling that burning sensation of being watched. It prompted me to leave early. The dark woods of Alabama are a scary place. After the hunt, we fished at the pond for a while before returning home. On the way back, we ran into something that I have struggled with ever since that day. It was exactly noon when we saw it. Now, before I get into the incident, you need to know some history about Baldwin County, Alabama. The Battle of Blakely was fought along this particular highway. It was a bloody onslaught that occurred at the end of the Civil War and resulted in immense casualties. Now, on to what happened. We were around mile marker 18, and to the right, there it was. On a grassy embankment, in a curve in the road just past an old bridge that we had passed, stood a tall black horse with a rider wearing black armor. The rider had black gloves, gripping the horn of the saddle with a sword that was sheathed. The dark rider was a massive figure, and it was missing a head. Yeah, you heard me right. A headless horseman. The horse was abnormally large and darker than night. The rider sat stoically in his saddle, facing the road, as if he were waiting on something as we drove past. Like I said, I don't get scared easily, and my buddy doesn't believe in that kind of thing. As we passed the horseman, time seemed to slow down as I took in every detail. I remember everything about it. My friend also stared in disbelief as we seemed to glide past in the safety of our truck, like some sort of safari from hell. Now here's where it gets weird. After we passed it, I looked back in the mirrors and poof, just like that, it was gone. The area is rural, and the horseman couldn't have come from anywhere or disappeared that fast. My friend told me shortly afterward that he didn't want to speak about it again. He was really shaken up by it. It wasn't until later that he recounted the story, and we both saw the same thing, up until we passed the horseman. His account was that the horseman was on the left side of the road and slowly walked into the center of the road before disappearing. I saw him clearly on the right side of the road. Has anyone else seen him? Please let me know.
Recurring Nightmare Creature by Just Ladle. Growing up, my family moved from house to house quite often. There was one home we lived in which was rather large for my family. It was attached to the backyard of a local church and was in an area that suffered from drug use and homelessness. The town had a very dark and heavy feeling. While living in this home, I had a recurring nightmare that would go as follows. My family and one of my best friends are sitting in the living room. My friend and I are playing video games, and my family is sitting around on the couches. We would always be playing the same portion of the game, and every time we got to a certain door in the game, my family would suddenly get extremely worried and tell us to turn the game off. So we would, and my family would shut off the lights in the room. Everyone would find a hiding place. Every single time, I would hide behind this green armchair that we had. As I hid behind the chair, the front door would open, and in would walk a large, bulging, shiny blue creature. I never got a good look at its face, but knew that it glistened blue, almost like a beetle. The dream always ended as the monster walked slowly to the armchair I was behind, just before it discovered me. As soon as we moved out of this home, I never had the dream again. It was gone along with the house. Fast forward almost 15 years later, my family and I are talking about strange encounters and paranormal experiences we've had. My dad grew up in a giant home and had stories to last a lifetime. When my mom starts, she immediately looks at me and says, "I remember back when we lived at our old house, I used to have visions of something watching you." My heart sank when she said this, as it was the only home in my life that I've ever felt a presence. She then said, "There was one night that I was in the shower and everyone else was asleep. When I closed my eyes to put my head under the water, I saw a giant blue creature standing over you in your bed. I jumped out of the shower and ran to your room, but obviously I didn't find anything." I couldn't believe what she was saying. I had never told her or anyone else about my recurring nightmare. She brought this story up completely unprompted. I told her about my dream afterwards, and we both came to the conclusion that it was the same thing, and that it was attached to me in that home. But it hasn't followed me since. At least, not to my knowledge. I was worried that discussing it with her would mean that this blue creature would return, but it has been 5 years or so since we had that discussion, and I haven't had any dreams of it since. I hope this streak continues.
What to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
That is Not a Little Boy by My Remains. Hardly anyone knows it, but Windfall, Indiana exists. It exists in such a way that when you're there, you feel like you're in a completely separate world. No shops, no restaurants, no anything. Just a gas station, a bar, a post office, and some dirt roads. It has an energy to it, like you can feel a thickness in the air that offsets your intuition. It makes a human being's natural senses spike like an animal who knows a predator is nearby. At least, that's how I personally feel about it. The entire place is off-putting. The people aren't much better either. I was only 13 when we moved there. My older sister was 16 and my younger was 12. Both of them did considerably better than I did socially at school, and I was often left by myself at our new home. Mom was working quite a bit and often stayed after hours. She said that it was because we needed the money, and I'm positive we did. But I think it was more so to keep her mind off of the divorce. The new house was small, a three-bedroom, one-bath, with a dining room and a living room. We had a fenced-in backyard and a muddy lawn with an old tree sagging over it. It was the dead of winter, and as a 13-year-old girl going through her first of many depressive episodes to come, I was submerged in the internet. I came home every day to an empty house, and I made myself a snack and planted myself on the couch to get lost in a YouTube rabbit hole until my eyes hurt. We had only lived in the house for a couple of weeks, but I was beginning to adjust to the new life. Sure, I didn't like Windfall, but I wasn't afraid of our house. School was miserable, but I cherished my time to myself. I felt as if I were getting a small taste of the adult life that I was so eager to have when I was 13. I wasn't scared to be alone, until I caught sight of him. Sometimes during my YouTube crusades, I would get distracted by the TV. My laptop screen would fall asleep. I'd look down, jiggle my mouse, and get back to it. But this time, there was a small shape standing behind me in the doorway of my mom's bedroom. Just a short apparition with noticeably spiked hair. He didn't move, but the hair on the back of my neck stood straight up, and my skin broke out in goosebumps. As quickly as he appeared, he was gone. I hadn't turned to face him, but I knew in my heart it had to be a little boy. I wasn't afraid of him. The house was old, and I felt like maybe he was just curious. I didn't get the feeling that he was bad or that I should fear him. He had just surprised me, that's all. It became normal to see him. Most times, he was in the reflection of my screen. Other times, I'd look up and I'd see him leaning against the doorway of the dining room. He was never in color, only a black shadow that faded away as soon as I blinked. I didn't want to tell my sisters or mom. I had been getting horribly bullied at school nearly every day, and I felt that if I were to say something, they'd make fun of me or simply call me crazy. I didn't want them to think that I couldn't handle being alone. Either way, he was harmless at first. Soon he began to appear closer to me, or things in the house would fall over mysteriously. Cabinets would slam shut, or the TV would turn off. Curtains would sway as if someone had run their hand through them. I would just blare my headphones and stay put on the couch, staring at my laptop and praying that somebody, anybody, would come home. I would see him, and my face and palms would begin to sweat. I started to feel like maybe the curious spirit wasn't so innocent, like he was teasing me or pushing his limits just to see what he could do to instill fear in me. I never tried to talk to him or communicate, and quite honestly, I had no interest in trying. The first time I ever saw him in detail was when I was in bed. My little sister and I shared a room. I had the top bunk and she was on the bottom. I began waking in the middle of the night sweaty, with my heart racing. Each night, I would look over the railing of my bed and I would see him standing in the dead center of my room, staring at my little sister as she slept. He was only about 7 years old by the look of it. He was skinny. He had a red plaid button-up shirt tucked into his pants. He had spiked bleach blonde hair and pale blue eyes. What stuck out about him was how white his skin was. He looked nearly albino, yet his lips were a shade of deep purple. I'd be too afraid to close my eyes or even breathe. I would wake up in the nights to come, holding my eyes shut because I knew that if I opened them, he would be there. Some nights my sister wouldn't be in her bed because she was still young enough to want to sleep in our mom's bed. But he'd still be standing there, staring, not acknowledging me or letting me know that he knew I was there. But I knew that he knew. As I kept this secret, our household began to fall apart. My sisters and I were constantly fighting. My depression was worsening, and self-harm crept into my daily life. My mother began to drink heavier, and in fits of rage or sadness, she'd say things that she didn't mean. She would change into a different person that was filled with anger when she was a once loving and sweet person. My family began to feel like strangers to me. This led to even more time in the house on my own, as my sisters used their friends' houses as an escape. I had no friends at my new school, so the only thing I could do to get away was to take walks to the gas station or play with the dog the next door neighbors kept chained outside to a tree. Every time I would see the little boy, I'd stop what I was doing and go sit with the dog. I'd stay there for a few hours until someone arrived home. Things hit their peak when it came time for me to bathe. Now, I loved baths, but for some reason, when I took baths in this new house, I felt nothing but anxiety. My chest would tighten up and burn when I'd lay back and wash my hair, and I'd feel like I couldn't bring myself back up. I'd scream for my mother because I often felt paralyzed with fear. Even just looking at the bathtub gave me an uneasy feeling and sent my heartbeat pounding into my ears. Eventually, my anxiety over baths evolved into full-fledged fear of water, swimming pools, baths, lakes. It's all ruined for me. Now, when I think back on it, it never felt as if the house had any happiness to it, only darkness and that same energy that Windfall emitted so strongly. I was overcome with relief when Mom let us know that she and my stepdad had worked things out and we would be moving back home. I couldn't have gotten out of that house fast enough. The only thing I didn't want to leave behind was the neighbor's dog. I had learned to shove those memories away. The little boy's face still popped into my dreams from time to time, but I had gotten over my anxiety of being home alone. Mom got better, and she eventually went back to being her old self again. Time passed, and the depression got easier to manage. I had nearly forgotten about him. We had all been drinking around the bonfire that night, shooting the breeze and talking about old memories. I was 20 now, and I felt that I could bring up the boy and handle whatever backlash I got from it. I asked my mom if she remembered the house and if she ever saw anything there. "Oh, for sure. That place was haunted as shit." Those were her exact words. "Yeah," my sister chimed in. "There was a little boy there, but He was not a little boy. I felt my heart drop to my stomach. Yeah, he was evil. I'd always see him running around the dining room table or standing in Mom's doorway. That's why I was always at Olivia's, because I hated that fucking house, she continued. I told them my story, all of it. I told them why I suddenly became so afraid of water and why I hated being alone. It wasn't just him. There was an old woman there too, my mom said. She would stand in the dining room and tell me to get out of the house. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and she'd be standing at the end of my bed staring at me, pissed as hell. That's why I'd get up in the middle of the night and grab your sister out of bed so that she could sleep next to me because I was so scared. The worst time it happened, I woke up and I saw that the boy was sitting on my dresser, swinging his legs. He hopped off of the dresser, walked to the side of my bed, and jumped at me. He jumped straight at me, and then disappeared, my mom continued. When we left, I looked up the house, and it turns out an old lady used to own that house, and she died there. What about the little boy? I asked. Yeah, the little boy died in the house back in the 70s. He drowned to death. Since leaving that house, I've returned to Windfall a handful of times to visit family. The energy is still there, that heaviness, the otherworldliness. As the years go on, more and more ghost stories emerge from Windfall and the people who lived there. Native American spirits and little children. There's something about that place that falls just perfectly on a wave of paranormal possibilities. It radiates with things that I don't know if we as a species will ever be able to wrap our heads around. Windfall, Indiana exists, and so does everything else in it.
The Scariest Night of My Life by Anonymous. I want to share a story that has stayed with me for years. It still gives me goosebumps every time I think about it. My name is Marco, and I'm from a rural part of Serbia. This incident happened when I was about 14 or 15, and it's easily the most terrifying experience of my life. Back then, my friend and I used to spend our summers riding our bikes all over the countryside. We knew every path and road in the area, often biking over 50 kilometers a day. That summer, our village was hosting one of its annual football tournaments, which we attended every night. The tournament took place in a neighboring village, and since we didn't have lights on our bikes, we always took a shortcut through the forest to avoid the unlit and dangerous main road. The forest route was peaceful during the day. It was lined with headstones and a few graveyards, which made it feel eerie, but we were never bothered by it. There were local legends about strange things happening at the bridge we crossed on our way, but we brushed them off as drunken stories. Tales of people getting lost and reappearing days later, bloody and scratched, claiming that something had attacked them. Things started to change as the nights grew darker. At first, it was subtle, just the sound of footsteps behind us. We thought it was just an animal, but each time we stopped to check, nothing was there. As the days went on, the footsteps seemed to get closer and closer. Still, we shrugged it off and kept going about our routine. But on the final night of the tournament, something happened that I will never forget. Before we headed home that night, my friend turned to me and said something that sent a chill down my spine. He said, "Whatever you do, don't look back tonight. If you feel scared, just pray, and we'll make it home safely." My friend was deeply religious, and even though I wasn't as devout, I trusted him. He had never lied to me in all the years we'd known each other. We started the long journey uphill, back through the forest. The moment we left the lights of the village behind, we could feel it. Something was following us. It wasn't the light footsteps that we'd heard before. This was something heavy, and the ground shook with each step it took, like it had hooves. But it wasn't walking on four legs. The rhythm was all wrong. It was like something enormous, walking on two legs, was trailing us through the darkness. We were terrified. The forest had gone completely silent. No animals, no insects. Just the sound of this thing following us. We didn't speak. We barely breathed. And for what felt like an eternity, we just kept moving forward, too scared to look back. I don't know how long we walked like that, but every step felt like it was getting closer. Finally, we made it to the first village. We stopped at a water faucet to wash our hands and faces, trying to shake off the cold fear that had settled into our bones, but we weren't safe yet. The last part of the journey involved crossing the bridge that so many stories were told about. And my friend warned me, again, if we saw or heard anything, we were to ride straight to the church without stopping or looking behind us. We got on our bikes, crossed the bridge, and stopped at the church, both of us exhausted from fear and adrenaline. Just as we thought we were safe, we heard it. A sound I'll never forget and have difficulty explaining. It sounded like hundreds of voices, screaming and talking over each other, coming from the direction of the bridge. We looked at each other, eyes wide with terror. I know we weren't supposed to look back, but I did. Nothing was there. We stormed off and eventually parted ways back to our homes without saying a word. We were pale as ghosts. My parents woke up when I got home, and even they asked why I looked so white. When I told them what happened, they just said that's what I get for being out in the forest at 2 a.m., and that I'm lucky I didn't see anything. I didn't sleep that night. The next day, my friend and I talked about what happened. He confirmed everything. He had heard and felt the same things I had. We never experienced anything like that again, even though we took that road many more times afterward. But I know what we experienced was real. I believe that something demonic was following us that night, and that God protected us from whatever it was.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My Dad Visits Me in My Dreams by Jade. On May 6th, 2023, my father was found dead in his car. He had been in the car for 4 days until the police found him. The cause of death was suicide. After the service for him, my family had been in a depressing state. I had always been a daddy's girl when I was young, and his death really destroyed me. 3 days after the service, I remember the night he first appeared in my dreams. It started like any other of my normal dreams. Colors, cartoons, wacky physics, etc. Then, after a while, everything cut to white. It was quiet. Not in an eerie way, but more of a calming light. After the peaceful light, I found myself on my grandma's back porch, where she had her pool. We go to my grandparents' house every family holiday or in the summer. It was empty and I was staring at the bright blue pool. It felt like summer. The trees were lush green and it was bright outside. It felt oddly real. It felt so real that I could feel the warm summer sun and a light breeze. It was quiet for a few moments until I heard the sound of a can opening. I turned around and I saw my dad in a lounge chair, Bud Light in his hand. He looked healthier, like he used to look back in 2020. Before he died, my father had a critical case of diabetes which made him unhealthily skinny. He was wearing his favorite pair of shades, his black sleeveless top, and bathing shorts. He drank from his beer and pulled up a chair beside him, inviting me to sit with him. His eyes started watering as I sat down beside my dad. I could hear the distant sound of birds, my dad's breathing, and his occasional sipping of his Bud Light. It felt calm. After a while of sitting with him there, he turned and looked at me. He gave me a warm smile and a soft chuckle, telling me that it would be all right. I remember him saying to me, "I'm all right. It's peaceful here." His hand gently rubbed my back. It felt real. He used to rub my back when I was upset or tired. I couldn't stop my tears from falling. My breath caught in my throat as I couldn't choke out a word. He wrapped his big arms around me, giving me a hug, still rubbing my back and telling me that he loved me. After he told me that he loved me, I woke up with my eyes watering. It was strange, but it comforted me. Maybe it was his way of saying his final goodbye. Ever since this happened, I've never had another dream about him.
Margarita by Gato Pulia. I'm someone who, as far as I know, has never had a single paranormal encounter. But whenever I tell people this story, they seem to believe otherwise. I was no older than 7 when this happened. I was playing in my backyard during the day, as usual. There's this concrete wall that separates our property from our neighbors, who happens to be my uncle. The wall was broken down in one part, where you could easily go through it. But you'd have to walk through almost half a mile of weeds and tall grass to get there. I knew there were rats and some trash all throughout too, so I never went there. Though I did play near the wall a lot. One day, I was doing just that, while my mom talked to my grandparents in the kitchen. I couldn't see them, but they could see me and were close enough to hear. I was near the broken part of the wall when this other little girl appeared out of nowhere on the other side. She was super friendly and looked a little older than me. I remember her vividly. She was wearing oversized bright blue jean overalls and a pretty straw hat. I specifically remember describing her outfit to my mom as farmer clothes. It made sense since this happened during the summer, but she appeared very out of the ordinary. She looked like a Sarah Kay illustration, and she was very pale, had freckles, and straight hair that was about shoulder length. I have no recollection of what we talked about or what we played, but that's what we did for several minutes. She told me her name was Margarita. She was really fun to be around, but I remember feeling really weird about the fact that she wouldn't come to my side of the backyard, yet was very insistent that I went to where she was. Of course I wouldn't, partly because of the rats and trash. But I was also very certain that I wasn't allowed to go there. I remember explaining this to her. She looked disappointed and said I should still ask my mom. I remember this next part very well. She insisted that my mom would be okay with it, that there's nothing bad behind the wall, and that I shouldn't be afraid. She didn't seem angry about my objections. She just seemed annoyed that I wouldn't trust her. That made me feel self-conscious enough to say I'd go, but I said I'd still have to tell my mom first. I don't remember her reaction to that, but I thought she would be happy that I said yes in the end. I ran back inside and explained the situation to my mom. She's understandably weirded out, since that wall isn't connected to the street. Nobody can get back there. And there were only a couple of other girls around my age in that area, and none of them looked anything like Margarita. My mom paused and started talking to me in an almost condescending, childish way. I knew she thought I was just playing around or something, but I assured her, slightly offended, that Margarita wasn't imaginary. So we went outside so she could meet her. I ran, so I got there first. It took no later than a minute for me to get there and back. But I don't see Margarita anymore. Of course, I start calling her, thinking she's behind the wall. Shy to meet my mom, maybe. My mom then begins speaking like one does to a kid's imaginary friend, talking to nothing in that condescending tone. I'm annoyed again, even while writing this, because I know I didn't make her up. Anyway, I kept looking around for Margarita, but my mom was growing impatient and didn't like that I was about to go behind the wall. I expected her to come back the next day, but I never saw Margarita again.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using. and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Jade's story about seeing her dad in her dreams matches up to so many accounts of both like near-death experiences as well as astral projection stories that I've read about.
Yeah, yeah. What ways are you thinking about?
Just that in all of these stories, when the person sees a deceased loved one, they're almost always in their prime.
They never look unhealthy like they did at the time of their death. They're always just at their best. I wonder if the universe or whatever just decides how we're supposed to look when we die. Or, and not to be too skeptical, we see our loved ones with how we want to remember them.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that they're either appearing to us in that form to comfort us, or that we get to exist in that prime state when we pass on.
Mm.
Regardless, I love these kinds of stories because they're a nice slice of hope and happiness among all of the horror stories that we get.
Yeah, yeah, that is very true. I've watched a handful of stories on YouTube, people talking about these super elaborate near-death experiences they've had. It's not YouTube, but the book Heaven is for Real is worth mentioning. It's the first book that I can remember really making it into the mainstream as far as near-death experiences go. But of course, there's skepticism and allegations about it being a hoax or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I've been wanting to read that one, actually. If I remember correctly, a 4 or 5-year-old kid died and went to heaven, right? Then he told his dad a bunch of details that seemed to be too specific to be made up.
Something like that. I haven't read it either, just the headlines.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can add it to the Discord book club suggestions.
There you go.
Yeah. I love hearing people's stories when they share their NDEs. I've had one on cryptic encounters, but I'd like to do some more. You can really tell something otherworldly happened to them too. Like, I interviewed a woman named Betty Guadagno who came back from an NDE, and these beings that she encountered literally helped her get off of drugs after like a lifetime of abuse.
Nice.
She said that she could see them in her head forming these new neural pathways, helping her kick the withdrawal symptoms.
Wow, that's a trip. Nothing better than a recovery story, especially when astral entities are involved.
Yeah.
Somebody close to me started praying when they were at rock bottom, and it was like a switch flipped, and they immediately sobered up in the midst of all of it, and from there lost all desire to ever start using again.
Yeah.
There's definitely some powerful forces out there, if there is an afterlife in the way we imagine it. I just really hope there's a way to consult the oracle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God whatever question you want, things that have been driving us crazy forever. And whether we like the answer or not, at least we get them.
Yeah. What would you ask?
I'd probably start with the conspiracy theories before the metaphysical stuff, to be honest. But I mean, after that, I don't know. Hopefully we do become one with the universe and there is no separate distinction between ourselves and what's around us. So we would just know. What about you?
Really, I just want to know about what comes before and after our lives here on Earth. Are all of these NDE stories right? Are these belief system territories real? Like, do people that believe in heaven and hell go to heaven and hell? Do people that believe in reincarnation get reincarnated, you know, just kind of like how it all works, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, because that would be horrible if you're like an anxious person who assumes like, oh, I've been so naughty, I'm gonna go to hell for this, and then sure enough you stole that candy bar when you were 12 and you're in hell forever.
Yeah, exactly.
It just manifests in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
So on to your favorite topic. I don't know what the town routes look like in rural Serbia, but that's just crazy to me that those kids traveled through that same road again.
I know. They didn't specify if they went back to that bridge or if it was during darkness, but still.
Yeah, and it's not like cutting through the forest to avoid the bridge would have been any better.
Yeah, especially with bikes if there aren't any paths.
Yeah, you sacrifice convenience in hopes of not encountering some invisible screaming banshee.
Who also apparently walks on hooves and can duplicate herself.
I mean, this may come as a shock, but I'm not exactly the most well-versed in Serbian folklore.
No.
I know, say it ain't so. But I do know banshees have Irish roots. I don't know, I really have no idea what it could have been. Maybe just some local thing? Any ideas?
Literally the only thing I know from Serbia is that god-awful abomination of a movie.
I knew it.
Yeah, and I hate that it's completely soiled any desire of mine to learn more about that country, because I know it doesn't represent the actions of an entire group of people, but just hearing the word Serbia triggers me, unfortunately, because I know that it's a beautiful place with so much history.
Yeah, I mean, Kazakhstan got the short end of the stick with the whole Borat thing. You know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
There's definitely a very fine line you got to walk with any sort of exploitation or shock type of film. I had the great honor of watching Kids by Larry Clark when I was like 12. And I know that movie gets a lot of hate, or at least it did when it came out. Leo Fitzpatrick, the actor who played Telly, people thought it was like a documentary and he was getting death threats and all this. But yeah, even at the age of 12, I appreciated it for not following the usual hero saves the day type of structure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Gummo, which I love you to death, but in your early 20s, you reminded me of the kid who takes care of his grandma. Remember him?
Vaguely. I watched that movie one time. I haven't rewatched it. It's one of those movies that I liked a lot, but I don't feel like I ever need to rewatch, just because it made me feel a type of way that I don't think I want to feel again.
Like Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, I don't think you ever need to watch those movies again unless, you know, it is your favorite movie. For instance, one of my favorite movies is Spotlight, and that details all of the child abuse that went on with the Catholic Church in Boston.
Yeah.
And like, that's a really dark subject. It's a really disturbing movie. Like, why would you ever want to watch that? And why would you consider that to be one of your favorite films? But it is. And for some reason, I keep watching it every year. I watch it once. I don't know.
Yeah, that's how it is for me. I mean, I don't re-listen to it, but Hunting Warhead, one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to, but I'm never going to listen to it again.
Never, never.
Uh-uh. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But yeah, the subject matter is bad enough in a Serbian film, but to make things even worse, the director just had to give it that title and represent his country in the worst way possible.
Yeah, it honestly pisses me off.
Seriously, it makes me wonder if the whole thing was some false flag psyop, which apparently was successful, since that's your main association with Serbia now.
Fair enough. Like, if he actually hates his country and wanted to make it look bad in some roundabout way.
Yeah, like the people who have no lives and pretend to represent some social political ideology they disagree with very poorly just to paint their opponents in a bad light.
Hey, sometimes you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. Yeah, kidding, obviously. I'm kidding. But I wish there was some kind of device that we could use to erase memories of things that we've seen or experienced. But then I guess you have all those cautionary tales like Eternal Sunshine or Total Recall that just show how terrifying that could end up being.
Yeah, and you'd mess up the whole butterfly effect thing too.
Yeah.
As soon as you said the word device, I thought of those two movies. Because, I mean, let's face it, Men in Black would have been too obvious, so good on you.
Yeah, all great movies, including Men in Black.
Oh yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
So Myra Main's story was really good this week. The reveal at the end where her family connected all the pieces together with her own admissions. Felt like the end of a really great horror movie.
Yeah, also, great username.
I know, I first saw it written out and didn't think much of it. People have random handles sometimes, but when I heard you say it out loud, it all clicked. Very clever.
Yeah, there's nothing like getting vindicated after years of feeling so alone with your terrifying experiences. That's how I felt when I began reading about shadow people and sleep paralysis. It was like, wait, other people experience this too? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, that's one great thing the internet has done for us. It'd be It'd be nice if it was still just a massive encyclopedia with chat rooms and message boards, but I won't beat that dead horse this episode.
Yeah, I know if I saw a Bart Simpson ghost in my house staring at my family members as they were sleeping, I'd immediately be blogging about it on the internet.
Yeah, everybody handles that kind of stuff differently. I can sympathize with her for not wanting to feel like even more of an outcast than she already was.
Yeah, you're right. I really felt that story. It's definitely going to get put in the best of vault for me. One thing I did notice is that Windfall, Indiana falls on the serpent ley line of the globe. And I don't know what significance that holds. I'm just going to email my archaeologist friend who investigates that kind of stuff and get back to you on the next episode, Myra, because I know it has some kind of significance.
I'll reach out to my archaeologist friend too. Yeah, we talked about the Arcadian ley line a while back and how that goes through the Appalachians. That'll be interesting to hear about.
Yeah, definitely. We'll catch up in the next episode. Anyways, thank you all for listening. And last call, we hope to see you all at the Salt Lake City show this Thursday at Metro Music Hall. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brandon will be there with me. And make sure to sign up for our Patreon if you want to get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes. That's patreon.com/oddtrails. And if you had a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com to hear it on the show. Finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. See you all Thursday. Everyone, stay safe.
Peace out.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.